Good morning. I will be reading from the word of the Lord in Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And from Luke 10, verse 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear your word and obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We have been considering together on Sunday mornings what it means to follow Jesus daily, and been using the Beatitudes as our guide in understanding what it means for each of us to follow Christ in our daily lives, not just on Sunday, but throughout our day-to-day living. We have seen that happiness is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship that's seen in contentment and peace. We've seen how that comes to be. It comes to be through being poor in spirit, through knowing that we're spiritually bankrupt, and we have not loved God and others as we are called to do. We're called to mourn for that, to understand that we haven't loved as we are called to do, and that creates pain in our hearts and the lives, and we confess that. We've seen meekness. Meekness is having our strength under control of the Holy Spirit. It's in a relationship with the big God when we recognize who we are and our great need for Him. And really, those first 3 together are a perfect picture of what humility looks like. And then last week we saw the 4th one, really in the relationship with God, where we hunger and thirst for righteousness, where we long for that right relationship with God, and we recognize that we don't have it in ourselves because we're poor in spirit, we mourn and we meek, we see that, we understand it, we can't do this on our own. And so God has to move and act in our lives so that we might be brought into that right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus became sin for us, that we might have His righteousness. And now, as we look at the next Beatitude briefly today, we see a shift. And the shift goes from looking first at our relationship with God, which the Ten Commandments does as well. The Ten Commandments, the first 4, are really dealing with our relationship with God. And then you get into the second 6, where it deals with our relationship with others. How do we love God? How do we love others? And in the Beatitudes, we have that same thing going on. The first 4 really deal with our relationship with God and what that looks like. And then the second 4 deal with our relationship with other people. And the first one is mercy. Happy are the merciful. What is mercy? So we're just going to dig right into it. I'm not going to go through a long explanation because we have the Lord's Supper as well today. So I need to condense just a little bit. So I'm going to go right to it. Mercy, simply put, is moving towards others' pain with active compassion, kindness, and love. We don't walk away from others' pain. We don't move to the side. We don't ignore. We move towards, actively move towards others' pain with love and kindness and compassion. And it seeks to relieve the pain, the hurt, the suffering, and the misery and the distress that we see in others simply by being there and helping. Whether it's physical or emotional or mental or relational or spiritual, whatever the pain might be, we come alongside them. We move towards them. Not because we have all the answers. Not because us simply going there is going to bring this magnificent healing experience. No. We do it because we are called to love. We are called to move towards others' pain and to be there to help. The great biblical example of mercy that we have is given to us in the passage that Marcia read for us from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, a story about a Jewish man who was walking from Jerusalem toward Jericho. And the story starts because this expert in the law had come to ask Jesus about inheriting eternal life, which is a very important question. And Jesus had told him to love God and to love others, and he says, I've done that. And so Jesus says, well, you know the answer. And so he wanted to justify himself, and he says, well, then who's my neighbor? That's the question. Who's my neighbor? And he tells a story about that man who was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. And on the way, some thugs jump out of the rocks, and they beat him, they rob him, and they leave him for dead. A short time later, a priest, a religious man, saw the man, but pass by on the other side. How often have we done that? That we pass by on the other side when we know somebody is hurting and in pain. And a little while later, a Levite, another religious man, another religious person, he worked in the temple, comes by. He passes by on the other side. The two religious people walk by on the other side when somebody is laying there beaten and robbed. They walk right by him. But Jesus then says a Samaritan came. Now, a Samaritan and Jews, they had this ethnic strife. They didn't get along. Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jewish people because they were half-breeds. The Samaritan felt compassion for the beaten man. He stopped. He stooped down to see how he could help. It says he poured oil and wine on his wounds, bandaged him up, put him on his donkey, and took him to an inn. And he had a warm, clean bed. And he actually gave the innkeeper some money to take care of him as long as it needed. And if it was going to need more, he was going to be coming back through. He'd settle up and pay the extra expense. And Jesus turned to his audience specifically. He turned to that expert in the law, that religious man, and said, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to that man? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him and us, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. See, mercy moves towards the pain of others. It doesn't walk away or go to the other side. Mercy helps. You know, 90% of helping is just showing up. It's just being there for the person who is struggling or hurting or in pain. Mercy heals and lifts and supports. Mercy sacrifices for others. It sacrifices for others. And some night it'd be just so much easier to stay home than to reach out to a person that has a need in their life. Mercy expresses extraordinary caring for people. That's what mercy looks like. And even though the Good Samaritan is probably the best picture story that we have of it in Scripture from a human standpoint, but the really ultimate Good Samaritan is Jesus. You know, God showed His mercy by sending His only Son into the world. He saw the suffering. He saw our condition. He saw the mess. He saw the brokenness of our lives. And He was moved to action. And so Jesus came and faced our condition. We are the man by the roadside. Do you see that? That's us along the roadside. In our sin, in our misery, in our brokenness, that's us laying there, desperately needing help. If we don't get help, we die. But Jesus didn't just feel sorry for us. He came to us. He came to our aid. He came to restore the brokenhearted. He came to set the captive free. He came to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the sick and the sick at heart. And here's the truth. When others may pass you by, when others may pass you by in your pain and in your hurt, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, mental, whatever it might be, when others might pass you by, and you begin to think that maybe you got the plague because nobody comes, nobody cares, nobody's reaching out, know this, that Jesus never passes you by. Never, ever passes you by. He is the merciful one. He is the one who comes to relieve our burden and our guilt. He comes to you. And He pays the complete cost. He pays the complete cost. Just like that Samaritan did to the innkeeper. He paid the price to take care of him. Jesus pays the complete cost for our healing and recovery. He dies on the cross for us. In the supreme act of mercy. That's how we know what mercy is. By what Jesus has done for us. And there's a promise there. It says, happy are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You know, it's basically what you sow is what you reap. If you're a merciful person, this says, mercy is going to surround you too all the days of your life. It's not something you earn. You don't earn the mercy. No, it's simply by being merciful, it bounces back to you. It bounces back to you. And that's the promise. What would happen if we would build a culture of mercy right here? What would happen if we would build an ambiance or a feel, or just when somebody walked in the door, they knew that this was a merciful bunch of folks? Happy are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. There's a story that I read about a man who kept muttering to himself, "He gave his life for me. He gave his life for me." And he was standing at the black granite Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. And if you've ever been there, it's an experience that just humbles you in such an amazing way to realize that these are the folks that gave their life that we might know freedom and maintain that freedom. But this man just kept tracing his finger over a soldier's name that was etched in to the granite. And he had tears running down his face, and he said, "He gave his life for me." It was all he whispered as he just kept moving his finger across the friend's name. Don't know the story. Don't know what happened. We can assume that in the midst of the war, that man personally gave his life so he could live in a situation. But can you imagine how this man's life must have been affected for the rest of his life because someone had been willing to sacrifice everything for him? You see, mercy, and this guy, according to the story, was kind of a tough-looking character. But you see, mercy melts the hardest of hearts. And it transforms us. And you think back in your life, has anyone ever sacrificed or softened your heart by mercy? Something that they've done that just melted you with such great compassion, such great love. Has anyone ever put their concerns, put your concerns before theirs? Jesus did. Jesus did. And Jesus does. Communion today is a celebration of Jesus' mercy toward us. And my prayer is that it would fill us with such awe and gratitude that we would be changed. That we would be changed into merciful people. Just as that man would trace his finger over that name and say to himself, "He gave his life for me," I hope and pray that as we touch the bread and we drink the juice, that each of us in our hearts would be saying, "He gave his life for me." Jesus did not pass by on the other side. He gave his life for me. And if I was the only person in the world, he would have done it. He did it for me. He did it for me.